Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Brooklyn-based jazz musician, composer, and educator Aaron Bazell. He opened up about his new 2022 CD called Aesthetic, his life in music and education, COVID, and more. He was born in Boston. At the age of 8, the family moved down south to Atlanta, where he would eventually come home from school one day to find his father had purchased an alto saxophone. After receiving some encouragement from his middle school band director, he became serious about the instrument, and jazz was his future. Enjoy the story.
Hey, thanks for taking a minute out for the show, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. No problem.
So, talk to me a little bit about Aesthetic. It's your brand new album. You know, this whole, like, last 2 years on planet Earth has been very strange, and now hopefully things are opening up, getting to a better place. So overall, how does this release feel for you?
It feels like a long time coming. Just a little bit of background information. I'm a music teacher in the New York Department of Education, and for me, this album just feels like it's a step towards finding more balance between the education and the performance side of my career. So I'm just happy to have a product and have something to represent my playing out into the world.
During this time of, you know, being more isolated and having more self-reflection, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you a stronger musician as you promote this new album?
During this whole pandemic time, one of the things that I realized is the importance of reflection, really finding out what it is that you want. And I think having that time to think and plan is really going to make me more persistent and more intentional about going about exactly what it is that I want in terms of being more of a performer and getting my music out there, because I think we've all realized that the time is short, so there's no reason to procrastinate and there's no reason to think that you have more time than you actually do, just to make sure that every moment counts.
You talked about being a teacher. Talk to me. Let's go way, way back, and let's go to the beginning of your life, where you were born and raised, and kind of how the jaws of jazz got into you and how this became your life.
I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and I grew up in I spent like the first 7-8 years of my life in a suburb outside of Boston called Westboro. We moved down to Georgia when I was going into the third grade, so I was about 8 then, and I started playing the saxophone. I got a saxophone at the end of fifth grade, and I started playing in band class at sixth grade. And I just took to it. I think one of the main reasons, and I give credit to him, is my middle school band director, Don Taylor, really took an interest in my development. I mean, he encouraged me to start taking lessons because he told my mom, hey, there's nothing else that I have to show him, so you should try to put him in lessons with this guy. My first teacher, Mr. Morrell. Initially, it was classical saxophone because Georgia and Atlanta doesn't really have that big of a jazz scene, but I always really enjoyed that music. There was a jazz band called the Atlanta Youth Jazz Orchestra that I was a part of my junior year, and that got me a chance to get exposed to some young musicians my age that could really play. It really kind of set me on my journey to trying to figure out how can I get to that level? What is it that they're doing that I don't understand? So to fast forward a little bit, I went to Northwestern University with the intent of doing classical saxophone my freshman year, but I ended up getting on the waiting list for the studio. But once I got there, I was able to start studying with this great alto player, Greg Ward. And Greg was the first one to really make me understand how one attains vocabulary and the importance of transcription and the analogy that he gave me that really made sense and kind of took it home for me in terms of learning this language is thinking about it as you have to have arrows for your quiver, meaning that the more vocabulary you attain, the more options that you have to choose from. So after that point, that's kind of what made it make sense for me. I ended up transferring from Northwestern to Michigan State University, where there was a great faculty. I got the chance to study with Diego Rivera and also Wes Anderson. After that, I taught for Houston in a year, and after that I moved to New York and got a master's in music education at Teachers College, and I've been teaching in the New York City Department of Education ever since then. So that's how we got up to this point currently.
So what was the first big major live jazz show that you saw that really blew you away?
I believe it was at the Atlanta Jazz Festival. My mom took me in Piedmont Park. I want to say it was Arturo Sandoval. It's a long time ago. I think he had a big band with him, but just his musicianship really, really entranced me, and that's something that I was like, man, I wish I hope to be able to do that one day.
You know, he came to Kansas City probably 4 or 5 years ago. That, to this day, is the best show I've ever seen myself. Like,
wow.
First time,
wow.
Yeah, it was at the Historic Folly here downtown in Kansas City, and mm-hmm. It was the first time I ever saw a musician get totally called out for a curtain call, like, loudly. It was a beautiful moment. He's a great cat. Talk to me a little bit about influences. You know, you had wonderful teachers, but who were you listening to that really kind of made you kind of cemented the way that you were going to try to find your own voice?
Hey, there's so many great saxophonists. Really, all the ones that everybody says. Of course, there's an alto player, Bird, Cannonball, even, like, I love tenor players as well. Sometimes I feel like an alto player that should have maybe played tenor because of my sound. But I love Sonny Rollins, Coltrane, Joe Henderson. In terms of living alto players, I'd say probably my favorite is Miguel Zinon. And even like my people that are around the same age as me, I love Godwin Luiz playing. Braxton Cook is great. There's so many amazing saxophone players out there.
What is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? I know you divvy between education and being a professional musician, but what's the greatest part of it for you?
For me, I think it's the opportunity to express myself and connect with audiences. I think for me, the goal of my music is to just uplift and inspire. So every time that I have the opportunity to do that, I appreciate it.
So you've obviously had some pretty esteemed teachers. You've played on the stage with a lot of cats. What do you try to take from those that have been around longer than you, you know, whether they're veterans or luminaries, that you in turn try to teach to your kids? What do you give to them?
The most important thing that I try to take from the elders is how they got to where they got to. And one of the things that I've noticed, not only among musicians, is that attention to detail and that dedication to your craft, whatever it is. So in teaching, especially in my situation where I know I'm not necessarily going to have students that are have the goal of doing something professional with music, I try to make sure that they realize that the way that you do one thing is the way that you do everything. So the way that we can approach learning this music and being a part of a community and also knowing the importance of carrying your own weight, I hope that they can apply that throughout their life.
If you could get into a DeLorean and go back in time and see a dream show in jazz anywhere, at any place, who are you going to go see? Where are you going?
Oh, man, that's tough. I think I'd have to go see Train live just so I could catch that energy and know what that feels like. Yeah, that would be the dream show.
Oh, yeah. So why do you love this art form known as jazz?
Just what it stands for, and the ability to create community. No matter where in the world, we can all speak the same language. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm in a completely different country and where I don't speak the local language. We all know this set of tunes, and we're able to connect and play together. That's the thing that I appreciate the most about being part of this music.
As we kind of wake up, live music starts coming back. What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music that we've been away from for a couple of years?
I hope that people realize how important it is. Like, it's great to be able to listen at home, but there's just something that's lacking from being able to get that vibration in person, especially with the music that we play, because it's different every single time. So I think, and especially going out in New York, I think people have realized that, and it's great to see people being able to take advantage of the opportunity that experiencing live music presents.
So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, your students, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
I think I wear a couple of different hats. when first I see myself as a member of my family. I'm a son. I'm the oldest of four siblings, so I always strive to represent myself well to them. And then also as a teacher, same thing. I try to make sure that I'm always setting a good example in the way that I communicate with and treat my students. And then, especially with this record, as I'm trying to delve more into myself as a performer, that's what this record is about. It's about introducing that aspect of my personality. And some of the things that I hope to represent with this record is my focus on the importance of melody, group interplay, and then just taking the listeners on a journey.
Right on, Aaron. Thank you for opening up, man. Thanks for talking about the new album. Good luck with everything as we move forward.
Okay, thank you so much for your time, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Brooklyn, Boston, Atlanta, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Aaron for his time, energy, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz@youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to joedomino.com. And if you feel like it, you can donate to the Neon Jazz cause. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.